Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 16th of August. This hour of the program, we're going to be talking about the protests that are taking place all over the country, protests against the construction of mosques. It's not just in New York City. There was a big protest in Sheboygan in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Republican candidates have denounced plans for a Muslim center proposed near a subdivision in Temecula, I think that's how you pronounce it, California. Members of a local Tea Party group have taken dogs and picket signs to Friday prayers at a mosque that is seeking to build a new worship center on a vacant lot nearby. The rhetoric here has become just really, really hateful, I think it would be a good way to describe some of this, in indicating perhaps a huge level of hostility. And we're going to be this hour of the program talking about why there is so much hostility, and it's really heightened since the president made comments on this and then backtracked from some of his comments last week. Joining us this hour is Othman Atta. He's an attorney. He is past president of the Islamic Center of Milwaukee, and he was present at some of the discussions that took place in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. We'll be welcoming phone calls, and the number is 800-486-8655. We're getting our email up and running, too, and would like to read some of your comments. That address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Othman Atta, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me, Kathleen.
Well, this has exploded into a huge, huge political debate. Even those who should know better are backtracking from what they have said. I don't really fully understand this. It's almost as though people are saying Muslims ought to leave. You know, you've got this faith. It's just, it's not true. And it's dangerous and it's filled with terrorists. And I don't know where all this information is coming from. But please tell me why the level of hostility is so high.
I think the level of hostility is high because there is political polarization in this country. Hmm. And I think that some people are trying to score brownie points, if I can say, against the president and for their own political reasons. And obviously there's other groups that have their own agendas as well. But if you see even in blogs and what some people are writing, they're using this now to again denounce President Obama. This proves that he's a Muslim. This proves he's not really an American. And they're really using it as a kind of political fodder. And if you notice, most of the harsh critics are either Republicans or those on the extreme right, whether Newt Gingrich, whether, many others, Sarah Palin. Everyone is basically getting involved in the controversy because they see it as a way to score cheap political points. There is, unfortunately, a negative attitude in general toward Islam and Muslims. I think large part of it, based on events that are going on, we're fighting two wars in Muslim countries, obviously, what happened on September 11th. And because most people don't have a good understanding of what mainstream Muslims believe, they have not maybe had interaction with Muslims and so forth. So they begin to believe the hateful rhetoric and the vitriol that they read on the internet, or they will sometimes hear certain columnists recite, whether on the radio or on TV.
Mm-hmm. The president spoke out on this finally last week, and some were say that he was pretty tardy in saying this, that if anybody could speak to a truth and do it in a beautiful fashion, it is this current president. A couple questions for you. Why did he wait so long to say something? He obviously was advised not to say anything at all, which is beyond me. Of course somebody should say something about this, and the president should. And then he kind of backtracked from what he said the next day.
You know, it was a little bit bothersome, but President Obama has not been one to jump in front of some of these issues. If you remember during his election campaign, there was the criticism that he's a Muslim. And yes. He obviously denied, I'm not a Muslim, part of a church and so forth. But he never responded, so what if I were a Muslim, even though I'm not? The person who ultimately did that was a Republican, Colin Powell, who said, you know what?
You're right.
What if he was a Muslim? That is not the standard that we use in this country. I think in this case, many of his those who are advising him, his advisors, have basically told him, look, this is a no-win situation for you, so why even address it? Leave it as a local situation. But what happened was he was hosting a group of Muslims for a breaking of the fast. We're in the Muslim month of Ramadan. And again, you know, he's getting criticism for that, although they forget that George W. Bush hosted eight of them during his 8 years in office, okay? But again, President Obama is getting criticism for doing that. But during that breaking of the fast, he basically told those who were gathering that he, as a president, he obviously supports the First Amendment to the Constitution. He supports what this country stands for in terms of freedom of religion and so forth, although he also acknowledged that this is a very sensitive issue because of 9/11 and its hallowed ground and whatever else. But what his critics and those who are against Muslims have tried to attach to is the fact that, oh, he's you know, basically supporting this mosque. Although in his initial comments, he didn't support it or go against it, but he seemed to kind of say, you know, this shouldn't be an issue because we're the United States. Afterwards, when he was down in Florida, off the cuff, he made a remark that seemed to be backtracking where he said, I didn't make a comment about the wisdom of it. I just was saying, what is the law? Well, we already know what the law is. You know, we know what the First Amendment to the Constitution says. And then there was another statement that came out afterwards where basically says, well, I stand by what I originally said. So, you know, it's kind of a little bit disconcerting. But at the same time, with the level of hatred and the level of attacks that this has generated, you understand why his advisors told him, why don't you just keep this as a local issue?
Yeah. I didn't think about the personal aspect of this for him. That's interesting. It throws another component into all of this. And we might add here, it's not only, if you want to think it's September 11th and the sensitivities of people surrounding September 11th, it's not just New York that we're talking about. This is all over the country. And I know you were involved in a case in Sheboygan. It's taking place in California, in Tennessee. So it's not just we're offending sensibilities when we look at this issue.
Absolutely. You know, some people have tried to argue, oh, we understand this is not a freedom of speech issue. We just don't want it to be at that location.
Right.
Yet one of the individuals who was involved, I can't remember his exact title, but in the rebuilding of the World Trade Center, one of those committees, he basically says that, you know, although these critics say that they just don't want the mosque at that particular location, it's okay somewhere else, and yet the signs that they brought to the meetings in opposition, they specifically said, we defeated a mosque in Staten Island, we will do it here. And if you look at what's going on across the country, it is standing against the construction of mosques. And that's what happened in Sheboygan. You basically had individuals who came in and who indicated that we are against a mosque because this is going to foster extremism. They're going to be, you know, terrorist training camps and all kinds of ludicrous conspiracy theories and idiotic statements. And unfortunately, there are a small but very vocal group of individuals who kind of hang on to that. And then go out and, I mean, they don't think that they're really, what they're doing is they're promoting things which are in violation of the things that we most hold, that we hold most dear in this country. They're violating the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. But they don't think about that. What they're doing is they're promoting their own narrow, and I'm sorry to say, oftentimes bigoted agenda. And I went to one of the hearings, and it was supposed to be a zoning hearing. You know, this is about, you know, are you worried about the cars that are coming there? Are you worried about traffic? Are you worried about noise? You know, and you have people who came there holding Bibles saying this is the law of this country. Excuse me, but the Bible is not the law of this country. I mean, maybe you should read the Constitution before you come to a meeting such as the one that was held in Sheboygan and in many other cities.
So it wasn't about zoning?
No, all the people who came there, not one spoke about zoning. And in fact, an attorney that was hired because of the controversy, this council hired an attorney, and afterwards the attorney basically said, you know, you brought up a lot of statements. You told the audience, you brought up a lot of statements, a lot of issues, but none of them have to do with zoning. And we cannot consider any of the issues that you raised. And why? Because it's not a constitutional issue that they're bringing up. I mean, this was just an issue that they either hate Muslims or they don't want Muslims. And so they did whatever they could to try to prevent them from establishing a center.
The other thing, and we heard this from one of our callers last hour, actually, and you may hear it again this hour, is that these blanket statements, Muslims don't believe really in the Constitution being the law of the land. They believe in a higher power, and it's a Muslim power, Sharia. Can you talk about that some? What is that all about?
You know, this is one of the things that you oftentimes hear on the internet and in some of the blogs. Now, remember, Muslims represent one, at most, maybe 2% of the Muslim population. So the idea that Muslims are taking over the United States and they're going to impose Sharia as an Islamic law, they're going to impose Islamic laws and so forth, is absolutely, ludicrous. Anyone who subscribes to such an idea is either, you know, they're somewhere on the lunatic fringe or really they just don't have an understanding of what this the population demographics and so forth are in this country. I am a Muslim. I'm proud Muslim. I was president of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. We operate the Islamic Center and the South Side and other organizations. I'm also attorney at law. I uphold the Constitution of the United States. This is my job. I'm a proud American. I will absolutely uphold the laws of the United States. That does not mean that I will agree with everything that the government does. Absolutely, it's my right to criticize something that I think may be wrong. And I will stand up and I will say that. But in terms of standing up to the Constitution, absolutely, I will stand up for the Constitution, excuse me. Does that interfere with my faith in a God? Absolutely not. I have a right to believe in God, just like other people have a right to not believe in any God at all. That is their right. That is what makes our country great. You could be a Muslim or Christian or Jewish or Hindu or Buddhist or anything at all that you want or nothing at all. And it's your right. And you all have we all have those rights and those freedoms. And we are not going to allow a group of extremists to prevent us from exercising those rights anywhere in the United States.
Let's go to phone calls. We have tons of them coming in. 800-486-8655. Reed is our first caller from Clintonville. Hi, Reed.
Good morning. Thanks for this opportunity. Say, to start with a disclaimer, I do not accept any particular formal religion, or am not a member of any formal religion, as I see it, formal religions are nothing more than a business that is licensed to withdraw monies from the general public without paying taxes on them. However, what we're seeing now, I think, is just another fine example of religion, Christianity in general, rearing its ugly, venomous head in an erroneous interpretation of the Constitution to basically support their desire for power over all others. And with that, I'll hang up and
okay, Reed. The air. Thanks for the call.
You know, one thing I will comment, yes, there are some extremist Christians, just like there's extremist Muslims, but overwhelmingly in every city that you go to, including in Sheboygan, the overwhelming majority of people, whether Christians, Jews, people of no faith, have actually come out in support of the program. So the overwhelming percentage of supporters are actually in support. Even I believe it was in either California or Tennessee when there were the individuals that came out during a prayer service and yelling at Muslims and so forth. Well, there was a larger group of supporters. So, again, just like I do not want to tarnish all Muslims with the acts of the extremists who perpetrated 9/11, I'm not going to tarnish all Christians or other groups with extremists that are in their midst.
Mm-hmm. And talking about extremism a little bit more, it seems to me as though, and as you said, heavens knows there are extreme Christians who, it'd be hard to call them Christians, who have done some crazy things. There are people who, and they're not really Christians, and there are some people who call themselves Muslim who aren't really Muslim who carried out these kinds of attacks. From what I understand from this center, if you want to make extremism something that people will not be attracted to, you build a center like this. You know, you talk about what's wrong with extremism. You provide people athletic things going on and cultural programs, and you're members of an interfaith group, as the imam who's building this or wants to expand this cultural center do. It's exactly what you want to have happen to make extremism something that people abhor.
Absolutely, and that is the kind of remark that has been made by a number of others. Mayor Bloomberg has made that remark.
Quite eloquently.
Exactly. Fareed Zakaria, in his Newsweek column, has made that remark. It's that this type of center, which is to promote reconciliation, which is to be open to people of different faith communities, is the kind of center that would be seen very negatively by the individuals who perpetrated 9/11. It goes exactly against everything that they believe in. But what the critics or opponents of the mosque are doing, they're basically arguing the same thing that Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda are arguing, that you cannot get together, you cannot preach tolerance, and the kind of extremist rhetoric, unfortunately, seems to be coming from now a different group. This mosque is the kind of mosque that is going to promote, I think, all the positive things. You know, Muslims are always told, oh, you know, we don't hear you saying enough positive things. We don't see you doing enough positive things. And then as soon as Muslims try to do something positive, then they're attacked. Oh, your intentions are bad. You know, you really, this is like the caller in the last hour. This is just a triumphant mosque. It's not al-Qaeda who's building this this center. It's not Osama bin Laden who's building this center. It's mainstream Muslims. The individual that Imam Faisal, he's a 62-year-old individual. He actually came to the United States when he was, I believe, a teenager. Now he's 62 years old. He graduated from Columbia. He's been part of the New York scene for decades, and he wants to build a mosque there. And in fact, back in, I believe it was 1999, he actually tried to buy a YMCA. That was called the McBurney YMCA in Manhattan, and the deal fell through because of funding. So this is not like it's a new plan, you know. But those who want to believe conspiracy theories are going to believe, you know, anything that they're told, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, let's go to Chip from Fond du Lac. Hi, Chip.
Yeah, hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I absolutely 100% support the building of the mosque. I think it's one of the tenets of our country, religious freedom. I don't think there was enough preparation. I think with education, a little bit more community activism, they could probably decrease all of the hoobla that's going on right now. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and one of the first things he said was, well, it really bothers me that I can't say a prayer at my son's high school event, but the Muslims can build a mosque anywhere they want. And I said, well, you know, you're confusing church and state and religious freedoms. Build a mosque, absolutely. But do some groundwork first. Get some education. Get some awareness in the community so that we realize what I know. Not all the Muslims are hijackers, and not all the Muslims are terrorists. And there are some very decent and well-meaning people that just happen to have a different religious belief. I believe in a higher power. I'm not really affiliated with any one religion, but I respect everybody's, you know, travels, their journey to that place, you know. And I think a little more education is what we need.
You know, I do agree with a caller that laying the groundwork for any kind of Islamic center anywhere is important. Unfortunately, I think that though, even when the groundwork is laid, there is going to be these kind of venomous attacks. Now, in the case of New York, with this new mosque that's proposed, actually they've been praying in this old building. It was a vacant building. It used to house a Burlington Warehouse coat factory. And so Muslims have actually been praying in it for some time. But these individuals, Imam Faisal Rauf and his wife, Daisy Khan, they've actually had approached a number of other groups, including Trinity Church in New York and the United Jewish Federation of New York. They also approached a number of 9/11 families. So they tried to lay the groundwork as much as they can, although they did not reach out to some of the grassroots Muslim organizations. And I think part of the reason why was probably they wanted to stay away from being associated with, you know, like national Muslim groups. So they tried to lay the groundwork, but that didn't help. In the mosque in Tennessee, the person who wanted to expand it, again, it wasn't building the mosque, it was just expanding the mosque. He's been there for 30 years. So he's established already some relations, and those people he's established relations with have all come out in support. They said, look, we know these people, they've been part of our community, we want them to be able to have what they want. But once you have a group of vocal opponents, and then once you add on the hateful talk radio of certain individuals, and even on TV, some of, I'll be very frank, the columnists on like Fox and so forth, I mean, they try to attach onto issues, and they start repeating blatant misinformation.
It's frightening.
And I think that's what then allows these extremists to really come out and oppose. So I think that even if you lay the groundwork, you're still going to get this kind of opposition.
Well, you have people, and he's considered a fairly respected politician, Newt Gingrich, a leading, as the New Yorker this week says, intellectual light of the Republican Party. According to Gingrich, Park 51 is an assertion of Islamic triumphalism, part of an Islamic cultural political offensive designed to undermine and destroy our civilization. Newt Gingrich is saying that.
Absolutely. And he's thinking of running for president in 2012.
We'll take more phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just program notes for you. Tomorrow at 9, we will be talking about those awful floods in Pakistan affecting 20 million people. Thursday at 9, Jonathan Alter will be with us. He is author of The Promise and just a wonderful commentator. He will be in our studios Thursday at 9. Back to phone calls. This hour of the program, Othman Atta is our guest. He is an attorney. He is past president of the Islamic Center of Milwaukee. And we're talking about the protests against construction of mosques, not just in New York, but all over the country. Dennis is next from Racine. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I'm grateful for your guest. I hope he can clarify some things. What really doesn't need so much clarification are the organized groups that are opposed to this mosque in New York being built in what they call the Ground Zero sacred site. And I'm talking about groups like the Anti-Defamation League being vociferously opposed to it. And I see some irony here. I mean, this is a group set up to combat bigotry, not to enhance it when it serves their purposes. Fareed Zakaria is my hero. He comes on CNN, one of the best people CNN ever had to anchor the news, and he returned a gift from the Anti-Defamation League, a medal and some money, because of this. And I worry very much about the AIPAC, the Israeli lobby, and all I'm saying is they have so much influence in Congress. The president is, and I really, really admire President Barack Obama for saying what he did the first time. I'm saddened by his backpedaling, but the tremendous pressure that the Israeli lobby has on Congress is mind-boggling.
All right, let's talk about the Anti-Defamation League. A lot of people were surprised by their opposition to the New York mosque. Whoops, let me get your mic on. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of people were surprised, and many in the Jewish community actually condemned their stand. Mayor Bloomberg, being one of them, stood out against it. Fareed Zakaria, I mean, basically said, we should be building this mosque. And he says that the reason is because he wants to promote Muslim moderates right here in America. And when he returned the award, which actually came with a $10,000 honorarium, he said that I was thrilled to get the award from an organization I long admired, but he's returning it and he's asking the ADL to reverse its decision. Again, I think it was wrong for them to make that decision. And even the reasoning that they came out with Abraham Foxman, he indicated something to the effect that some people who go through tragedies have different understanding of issues, and there may even be some bigotry involved, but we have to basically give concessions to that. And I think that's absolutely wrong. And that is something that really goes against everything that that organization is supposed to stand for.
Mm. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to Casey from Scales Mountain, Illinois. Hi, Casey.
Hi. I just wanted to make the comment. I think conservative groups are kind of creating their own self-fulfilling prophecy. They're afraid of the Muslims, and I would be afraid of people that I was denying their civil rights also. I mean, how can we stand... I'm sorry, but I think that denying them their civil rights isn't going to create a better environment between us and them. I think it's just going to worsen everything, and that the conservatives are really just creating their own problem. They're making the Muslims they're creating animosity between Americans and Muslims.
But Muslims are Americans, too. We can't have this us and them. I understand what you're saying, Casey, but you know, we're Americans. You're an American. I'm an American. We're all Americans.
Absolutely. And we are no different than anyone else. We do not have any lesser rights than everyone else just because we happen to practice a particular faith. I think that the problem that we have overall in the United States is we continue to see this rhetoric which is against Muslims. And there's a number of organizations and just even on certain websites, they actually talk about this. One group, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, which is an independent media watchdog group, has a website. It's smearcasting.com. S-M-E-A-R, casting, all one word, .com, where they actually talk about Islamophobia's Dirty Dozen. These are individuals who seem to have nothing better to do but to malign Muslims and Islam. There's another group that also exposes these individuals. It's actually called Loon Watch, L-O-O-N. watch.com. And again, it basically shows videos and lists stories about the kind of anti-Muslim rhetoric that appears. I mean, even one of the people who is opposing this mosque and who's basically taking the lead in this, what I call the anti-Islam campaign in New York, her group is called Stop the Islamization of America. Her name is Pam Geller. Again, the things that she writes and are written, not just about Muslims. I mean, even about President Obama, she had a picture of President Obama that was photoshopped that showed him urinating on an American flag.
Oh, my gosh.
She had a picture of what she claimed was Prophet Muhammad, but she put the head of a pig on it. I mean, is this the kind of debate that we want to have in this country? I mean, are these what... the Republicans really want to be associated with. But to be very frank with you, the Republicans seem to be adopting the most extremist positions of individuals who are in their ranks. And although this may provide some gains on a short-term level, I do believe on a long-term level, they are alienating many people. They're alienating Muslims, they're alienating immigrants, they're alienating Hispanics. They will continue to alienate people until they make themselves irrelevant.
Really?
I truly believe that, yes.
They must be thinking that this is going to serve them well in the elections that are upcoming, though, or they wouldn't make such a big issue out of it, right?
Well, I do believe that it is going to give them some short-term political gains. You know, you're trying to attach yourself to a topic where even a majority of Americans seem to share the same view that we don't want to have a mosque. But do you then stand for principles? Do you stand for the Constitution? Do you stand for the ideas that our nation was founded on? Or do you sell all of that for a few votes in a particular election? Well, I personally feel that what these individuals are doing, these Republicans especially, who are trying to score some political points, I believe that they're turning the hallowed ground of 9/11 into a cheap political playground. And I believe that people are going to ultimately realize that this is what they're doing, that they're trying to just get some political gains out of this, but they are sacrificing the ideas and ideals that our country holds so dear.
Mm-hmm. And Casey makes an interesting point when he talks about us and them, even though I objected to describing anything because we're all in this together. But there must be something, and tell me what it is psychologically, that people want to be with us. And then this them thing, it's better to be a part of the us groups. That can be used to a political advantage?
Well, I think any time that you can exclude someone, and this unfortunately has been part of the history of this country, one of the negative parts of our history, that we've excluded groups in the past, whether it was Catholics or Irish or German or Jews or blacks. There's always been a group that has unfortunately been scapegoated. The same kind of rhetoric that you read right now about mosques was also said about Catholic churches. It was also said about synagogues. Even Mayor Bloomberg, one of the reasons that they said that he is such vocally in support of this is that when he was growing up, his parents had to purchase the home in the name of their lawyer in Massachusetts because Jews were not allowed there. So this is the kind of idea that, you know, if you separate us versus them, you try to scapegoat someone for cheap political points, it will work in the short term, but in the long term, I think it is not.
Yeah. Let us go next to Ron from Waupaca. Hi, Ron.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for the call. Great discussion. I would like two comments, one relating to the center itself, possibly calling it the Center for Religious Reconciliation, where the mosque also includes areas in it for Jews and Catholics and Hindus and Buddhists, and also an area where people can come together for dialogue. This should be a center for peace, reconciliation, where all people recognize we have one God. And they come together in peace. The other comment is, if we play into the hands of the extremists and make this an emotional political issue, we are making them as happy as can be, because division is what they want. We can look at a worldview and see that if we went to Tehran, Iran, and tried to build a church inside of the parliament building there, we would have quite a difficult time, if at all, able to do that. So my point is, let's not be like they are, the extremists are. Let's rise above this. Let's consider being more intelligent and less emotional.
Well, I thank you for the comments. In terms of what the center is named or what they do there, I think there's a lot of possibilities. And I believe that these individuals who have proposed this Islamic center at that location, and again, it's a fitness center, it'll include many things. I'm sure that they will probably place something inside there. In fact, I'm sure that they will place something, not probably, I'm sure that they will place something in there regarding reconciliation, about working together and so forth, because this is what they've been doing for decades in New York. What's important, though, is that this should not be a condition for them establishing their center. The government cannot impose these kind of conditions because the government cannot interfere in the exercise of religion. And so that, I think, is where the issue is. But will these individuals who are proposing this Islamic center do something very positive? I'm absolutely sure that they will.
Let's go to an email. In a democracy, when Muslims become the majority, would they be conscience-bound to replace the Constitution? As I understand it, there is no separation of church and state.
You know, when you're talking about Muslims becoming a majority in the United States, if Muslims are approximately, let's say, somewhere between 3 to 6, maybe 7 million people, okay? This country has 330 million people. What are the chances of the United States becoming a majority Muslim country? I mean, the people who are proposing these ideas and saying, oh, Muslims want to impose Islamic law and so forth. It just, you cannot have Islamic law unless the majority of the individuals in a Muslim country are willing to do so. And we are not a Muslim country.
Let's pause for a moment and we'll return. Our guest this hour is Othman Atta, attorney, past president of the Islamic Center of Milwaukee. We are talking, obviously, most dominant here is the discussion about the mosque in New York, but there are also controversies all over the country. Here's our number, 800-486-8655, and the email is talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Arnold from Pine Bluff is next. Hi, Arnold.
Hi there.
Hi.
My comment is I'm inalterably opposed to this mosque or religious center or cultural center or whatever they have in mind being put up anywhere near the site of the 9/11 massacre of some 3 million Americans. I would consider this about in the same way that I would have considered some effort by the Japanese government to put up some peace and friendship center about 500 yards from the sunken Arizona in Pearl Harbor, or the way I understand the Jews feel about Roman Catholic nuns putting up a shrine at Auschwitz, since most of the people who were murdered at Auschwitz were Jews and not Roman Catholics. Anyway, that's our American shrine, and it's mainly American Christians and certainly not Muslims who got killed there, and I would not allow it. I think that we are in a permanent clash of civilizations with Islam, and it'll be that way until Islam changes internally with the same sort of reformation that we had in the Christian West in the 16th century. That's the way I see it, and that's the way I'll act accordingly. I would give no permission for that to go up under any circumstances, and as for them changing the United States Constitution to introduce Sharia, I'm totally opposed to this in any way, shape, or form. Now, I don't care about the Islamic religion. There's probably no basic difference between that and the religions commonly practiced in this country, but I don't view it as a religion. I view this as a major political movement and perhaps the sharpest threat to American freedom that's ever come down the pike. And I don't think it's going to go away quite as easily as communism did. I think there were a war with them on a worldwide basis. We can try to have peace, and that would be nice, but I don't see it coming.
Othman Atta.
You know, there's some individuals and groups who always seem to need a common enemy to validate themselves, and I think that that's unfortunate. The caller says that he would not give permission for this Islamic Center to go up. If you're an American and you believe in the Constitution of the United States, you would defend and uphold the Constitution and its values. What he tried to give as analogy, for example, with the Japanese putting up something near the sunken Arizona. We're not having Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden build this center. This is a group of Muslims who've been in this country for decades, who bought this land. It was private property, and they want to build a center. You know, this idea of clash of religions and clash of civilizations, unfortunately, that is an attitude that some people have, that there is a need to create this enemy. And I think that that's unfortunate. And I think that most people who have the ability to read and to understand and speak to Muslims, and I'm not talking about the extremists like those who committed 9/11, but you go to a local Muslim center and talk to Muslims and engage them, you will find that they're really no different than you. They believe in the same kind of values as you do. The only difference, they may pray differently, they may fast differently, but they're Americans through and through, and they uphold the Constitution, and they have the rights that are enshrined in the Constitution. And so they do enjoy those rights, and they do fulfill their responsibilities. And to create division within the United States, I think that that's unpatriotic.
How do you deal with what many are calling an extreme form of bigotry that is surfacing its head in a very ugly fashion these days. You seem very calm about this. Do you have an organized strategy of how to counter bigotry? Do you have meetings about this? Does your stomach churn when you hear some of this rhetoric?
You know, I've been with the Muslim community involved in some way or another for close to 30-some years. And I've gone out and I've had the opportunity to speak to, you know, thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, churches, business groups, and universities, and so forth. What I was able to find, my own personal kind of observations, was that the majority of individuals knew very little about Islam and Muslims. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the, if you want to call it the anger or the hatred, was stemming from ignorance and not bigotry. And so I believe, based on my own experiences, that the overwhelming majority of Americans are actually good, tolerant people who recognize people's rights in this country. They recognize the diversity. They not only appreciate it, they oftentimes even celebrate it. I mean, look at our own town. Every week we have a different festival that's coming into town. People enjoy that diversity. Those who are bigoted and those who play on people's fears, I don't believe we're going to change bigots. I don't believe that we're going to change those people who have some kind of inherent anger or mistrust, you know, within themselves, and also always want to scapegoat somebody. Those people will exist, but the overwhelming majority will ultimately reject them. And so, honestly, I feel very, very positive. And when I look at the experience of Muslims throughout the United States and the building of centers and so forth, that yes, there are some vocal opponents, but overwhelmingly, including in Sheboygan, overwhelmingly right. The church groups and, mm-hmm. and others came out in support. And we're building bridges. I mean, here in Milwaukee, we've been involved with a number of interfaith organizations. We do what we can in the community to give back to the community. We want to show people that we're part of the community. We have a big contingent of physicians, for example, in our community. Many of the citizens of the city of Milwaukee probably go to a Muslim physician and they don't even know it. We are providing services in many, many different ways because we are part of the culture and the fabric of this country, and it will continue to be that way. And these people who are the extremists, I believe, are on the losing side, and that's why I'm very optimistic. And although I will come in on shows and you know, talk about them and so forth, I feel that ultimately they will be on the losing end of history, not on the winning end of history. They do not represent what the United States stands for. They represent the worst aspect of the history of the United States, the aspect that included slavery and Jim Crow and the racism against other groups. And so you always had individuals like this, but I believe that our society is moving on, and they're going to leave these people behind.
And what about worldwide? What about extremists in Afghanistan, extremists in Pakistan? Do you believe they're on the losing side now, too, or not?
I do believe so as well. I think that Muslims have realized that these extremists are hurting everyone. The largest victims, and this is something that President Obama said in his speech to the Muslims at the breaking of the fast dinner, he said the largest number of victims of groups like Al-Qaeda have been other Muslims. Mm-hmm. When you hear about mosques being blown up in Afghanistan or Iraq, you hear about killings. The biggest victim are Muslims. So Muslims have to take a much more aggressive, assertive role. We're taking that role here in the United States in terms of our mosques and how we're educating our children and how we're trying to mainstream them. I mean, these groups who are trying to vilify and disenfranchise Muslims are actually doing the opposite of what they should be doing. We are trying to engage them in the society, to make them feel that you are part and parcel of the society. And by doing so, we're engendering greater moderation. And this is something that we feel has to take place in the Muslim world as well. This is a much bigger topic because part of the problem in the Muslim world is you have these regimes that are undemocratic, unelected, and so forth. And unfortunately, they tend to play an important role in perpetuating some of this extremism. And so that has to be addressed, I think, on the international level. in terms of our international relations. And I think that one of the reasons that President Obama wanted to have this breaking of the fast dinner and he came out in support was to show the world that, hey, we have values and ideals that are different. And look at how we survive as a country. That look at our Muslims in this country. They can build their mosque. They can pray. They can fast during Ramadan. And we appreciate that. And we celebrate that. Why can't you guys do that in your own countries? And I think that that's a great thing. And I, as a Muslim, am proud of things of that sort. And when I travel around, the first thing that I'm telling people is, look, this is what I'm able to do in the United States. I mean, I'm able to speak freely, worship freely. These are things that you guys are denied in your own country, and that has to change.
Yeah. Let's go next to Mike from Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, well, you answered my question, but it was simply that wherever there's trouble in the world, where there's killing, murder, mayhem, destruction, it all seems the word Muslim pops up. So no wonder these people are biased against the word Muslim. I mean, that shouldn't be such a shock to you. That should just be common sense. And there's nothing wrong with having fear. Fear is a way to protect yourself. So that when you say, oh, we mustn't fear, baloney. Now, we have radical jihad students right here in Milwaukee going to UWM. They attacked a group of Jewish students last spring. The police were called in. That's the kind of thing that's going on. So you have youthful people who are probably over the edge, who can't wait to get back to the Middle East so that they can go jihad. And that's going on now, probably at student unions all across the country. So there's quite a mix of people here. It's unfortunate. The word Muslim seems to cover too much. And what you are, you're saying, well, I'm rational. Well, there's a lot of people who are religious, practicing a religion that's ancient, trying to adapt to a modern society, that maybe you're not. Maybe you're just more modern and more liberal and easier to get along with. But I'm sorry to say there's a lot of people who are Muslim who are not like you.
You know, actually, in terms of it being an ancient religion, it's actually one of the youngest of the religions. I mean, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, others, Hinduism are actually older than Islam. You know, there are issues that people try to conflate together, and they really don't mix. If there is a political disagreement between students at a particular university over a political issue, that has nothing to do with violence or Islam or anything of that sort. These are people who have different political views. People disagree on, for example, what's going on in Iraq. They may disagree on what's going on in Afghanistan. They may disagree with what's going on in Iran or in Russia. Or in India or in any country, they can actually disagree over that. But that does not mean that there are extremists. I mean, if you're saying that there's these jihadi students at UWM, well, you know what? Maybe you should contact the FBI and law enforcement and tell them something that they don't know. Because I'm not sure where you're getting that information from. I'm part of the Muslim community here. We actually own a center nearby UWM. And I will tell you, there are no jihadi students here at the university. I guess I'll stop at that.
Let's go to Judy from Ithaca, New York. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I have lived in Sheboygan for 10 years, and keep in touch with my family and friends there. And I am friends with a Muslim family in Sheboygan. I met them when they first moved to the country. I tutored, volunteered tutoring, taught the wife English. And her and I became very close friends, and I got to know their family and hang out with their kids. And I just came back from a visit with them this weekend, and we were talking about the mosque in Sheboygan, and I had heard all about the controversy and everything. And I just have to say, you know, it's that ignorance. It is so apparent. These people are the kindest, gentlest, most great senses of humor, just like anybody else. And they, you know, I enjoyed my visit. They were able to, you know, joke about the controversy of the mosque, you know, how it's just ignorance, and they understand that. And they absolutely love Sheboygan. And I just want to thank the guest. He's exactly what the Muslim community needs, you know, so people can, he's just a wonderful speaker. So thank you.
Thanks very much for the call.
I thank you very much for your comments. You know, one thing I do want to say about Sheboygan, again, besides that most of the people that have come out, including churches, have been in support, there was the incident with that one girl from Chicago, the Muslim girl, who was kayaking with her dad and then went missing.
I remember that.
And what actually happened is when they could not find her, and then many people went looking for her, many of the family members and friends of the girl came up from the Chicago area. And they were actually hosted by families in Sheboygan, including those who had been in opposition to the mosque. And what you see, I mean, is that once people have the ability to interact with Muslims on the individual level and to really get to know them, it really begins to change people's minds and attitudes. That the fear-mongering and the hate-mongering that they may hear on the radio or the TV will be changed to say, well, wait a second, this is not what I've been told, or this is not what I've heard. And this is something that I've personally experienced myself, that after a talk, after talking to people and explaining, I will be approached by even some older people in the audience, and they'll come up and they just want to hug you. And they say, you know, I wish more of us can meet Muslims.
Yeah. So go back out on the speaking circuit. Thanks. Thanks for being with us. Othman Atta, our guest this hour of the program. Whew, I'm exhausted by this issue. He is an attorney. He is past president of the Islamic Center of Milwaukee. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. You can also follow us on Facebook if you want to leave more comments. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, the horrendous floods in Pakistan. Thanks to Chrissy Pease for producing the hour.